Hello. Happy Sabbath. There's an echo in here. And so how will you be ready for the kingdom? I'm going to answer three questions today. What will you learn? How will you learn it? And who will teach you? And today I'm going to reference many scriptures, but mainly it would be parallel parking in Isaiah. So then I'll tell you to turn to the specific scriptures, and if you follow that instruction, basically nobody will get hurt. So in the remaining 17 seconds that I have, we're going to go through the message. So if you reference, we're going to start out in Luke 4, 18 through 20. That's where Christ is in the synagogue, and he quotes Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. And he does it in a way that's it's perfect timing. It's done in a way that won't ever be forgotten. He makes the word of God come to life. So he quotes Isaiah 61 and verse 1, and he stops in the middle of verse 2. And what he's reading is basically page 1, paragraph 1 of the gospel message. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to proclaim liberty to the captives. Open the prisons to those that are bound, and to proclaim liberty, or to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he stops. And the rest of Isaiah 61 is after Christ's second coming. And it's a good read. But it points us at what God's mission statement is. And it's summed up in Hebrews 2:10. It's a reference. God plans to bring many sons to glory. It's all of humanity. All those who are willing. We know God's word is sure and true by what Isaiah 55:11 says. As God's word reverberates throughout all of eternity, and what he says, it will be carried out. We also read in Dan chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. God reveals a future to an earthly king, that there's a government coming that is going to annihilate all power structures on the earth, and it's going to replace them, and it will never end. And it finishes with this. The interpretation, or the dream is certain, and the interpretation is true. In Dan chapter 7, 22, it's the serial box top version of this. And I quote, Christ is ruling. Judgment is given to the saints of the Most High. And they've possessed the kingdom. You can take that to the bank. But do you feel ready to possess the kingdom? Because it's coming. God is calling the first fruits now. It's you and I. It's a conditional invitation based on your willingness to participate. In the Old Testament, we see a reference in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. It talks about, you keep my covenant, and then you are a special people to me. You're a physical nation of kings and priests. And that was God's goal. But they couldn't get it together, and God took it away. And that's referenced in Isaiah 42:24. So if you turn to 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, Charlie Brown. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a special people that have been called, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the first fruits nation, a nation of kings and priests. What will they do? They will teach God's character to all mankind through a servant leadership role. In verse 10 of 1 Peter 2, it talks about you are a people of God, and God is working with you. And if you like to be tickled with a little holiday-themed message, you can skip down and read through 11. It basically talks about the scattered, the isolated. This is the people that God has chosen to work with. And he's given you a basic instruction to stay away from the age-old formula. In Isaiah 56, verse 4 and 5, God does not leave out anyone. Anyone he calls and is willing to follow him will have a place of honor and a heritage with God. In verse 8 of 56, God gathers out the outcast, the people that are different. They don't fit in. He gathers them and works with them. So you could ask, is this coffee table Christianity? No. Are we to pray and study, and that makes us ready for the kingdom? Pray, study, and activate. That activation is you in the trenches. You have dirt on your fingernails. It's on your clothes. It's kind of messy. So turn to Isaiah 42. You reference 1 through 9. It's a good read. We're going to focus on verse 6. God says, it is my responsibility to care for you. I will take you by the hand. And lead you. I will make you a light to all mankind. Continuing on verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. It's God saying, I'm going to send you into dark places. First, it's going to go into your own heart. I'm going to help you clean a house. And then you're going to go into the world. And you're going to release those that are in bondage. And you're going to show them how to stay out of chains in their own future. Do you crave the supernatural power to break people out of their addictions, and to reorganize the genetic abnormalities, or to show man who their creator is? I'm in. I want to do that. But how do we get there? It's our willingness. It's our willingness that is what is required. You reference Micah 6:8. It's simple. It's the KISS method. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. If you turn to Isaiah 55, we're going to reference 1 through 13. It's another good read. But specifically, we're going to look at verse 3 and 4 of Isaiah 55. God says, you will be like King David. I gave him as a witness to the people, a leader, and a commander. Verse 5, the same way we will be a leader and call nations, and they will make the effort to come because God has worked with our willing heart. So apply today God's character now. Again, against the grain of Satan's reign on earth. Knowing what will not work is invaluable. Today, most people will not listen or even connect your way of life to the God of creation. But the act of simply living and teaching a way of the example of God is causing you to learn more than what you're trying to teach. If you have any doubts, ask any parent. So the three questions I asked. What will we learn? We're going to be learning God's character. How will we learn it? By willingly living God's way of life. Who will be teaching us? Christ is taking us by the hand and leads us by his own example. So if you reference again Isaiah 55, so if you're like me and you fall into a lapse of backsliding, I'll quote it. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy unto him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And if you're still having problems, take a dose of Isaiah 1. 16, 17, and 18 once a day, and call me in the morning. Isaiah 16 is clean yourself up. Put away your evil doings. Put away your bad habits. 17 is learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. 18, let us reason together, and let me show you the plan and the process to remove the indictment against you and move you closer to me. So, another little holiday-themed verse. Oh, be quiet. That's enough of that, you. So in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, I'll let you can search through that. But my point is, 2 Corinthians 4, 17, for a light affliction, which is for but a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Does anybody else feel lightly afflicted? Lightly afflicted to me is like the tag rubbing on the back of your neck or something. I don't feel lightly afflicted sometimes. But this is written from God's perspective, and it's not from our perspective. But this is the goal to keep in mind. It is the goal that is in God's mind for us. And we are in God's eyes. Happy Sabbath.